Brent Beard, we are 10 days away from college football. Are you ready?
Oh yeah. Listen, I was ready
200 days ago. 200 days ago?
Yeah. And hey, Ryan, I know you appreciate this, and you probably saw this, but I think it's very appropriate that that Florida Atlantic is going to be they're going to name their new stadium after Howard Snellenberger. It's going to be called Howard Snellenberger Field. And look for what he has done to put them on the map. I think that's well deserved.
Yeah, and I sent him a congrats text a couple of hours ago, and no doubt. I mean, I love the announcement, and you know, we don't have a chance this generation because today started school in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Okay, it's English class, biology, and then we do Alabama history at 6 o'clock because we love to talk with former players as we did earlier. And Howard Snellenberger is one of those guys that helps us connect to a generation that we don't know a lot about if you're a younger guy. And that's where we love when former players and coaches can share that story. And Howard Snellenberger is certainly enshrined into this program as one of the historical figures.
Well, I'll say this real quick, and this will really bring it around raise a few eyebrows, but I'm absolutely convinced, and I know some of this was self-inflicted on his part, and some of it's just plain old fate. But I wonder, Ryan, how close he was to actually coaching Alabama one day. I remember well years ago, and this was decades ago. The two of the names that we thought were slam dunks to one day be coaching Alabama from that Bryant tree was Howard Snellenberger and Jackie Sherrill. So, and obviously neither one of them did. They went on to their own glory at other schools. But people may not realize how Snellenberger was thought of one day years ago as possibly being a replacement for Bryant.
You think about the quarterbacks that he has developed over his life. And, you know, you think about it, and I know that Jim Kelly played for him, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes.
And today we got news that Jim Kelly is cancer-free. So
yeah, boy, that's great to hear, too.
Howard Snellenberger's had a tremendous day. I mean, he's on cloud nine. So, you know, I thought about that when I read the Jim Kelly news because he's talked about it. And wow, what a guy that groomed so many quarterbacks. And, you know, we had Joe Willie Namath on earlier this week. Howard Snellenberger spotted Joe Willie Namath in Pennsylvania. I mean, he's the one that brought him to Tuscaloosa.
Tremendous gauge of talent, would you say? So it was sad to see him retire. But and listen, I think I've told you this story before, but I will never forget. People don't remember that before Bobby Petrino got to Louisville, that Snellenberger was at Louisville and probably was the guy that set up and laid the foundation in some ways for Louisville getting back on track. And Ryan, now you can picture this, I remember this like it was yesterday, and this shows you how well he could communicate and how smart he was. I remember him doing his coach's show one year, I think he may have done it just once, but I thought this was pretty innovative. He did it from a kindergarten classroom.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just amazing watching him sitting there in that chair. And look, if you ever want to know, especially the young people, if you ever want to really know what Coach Bryant sounded like, Snellenberger wasn't far off.
Well, and I tell you the funny story, and I know we've got to get to some football, but we're talking about Alabama history lesson, and I promised the students as we welcome back 35,000 that I'd talk a little Alabama history. So we're doing that now with Brent Beer here talking about Alabama football. But Howard Snellenberger, the story that he shares about he didn't have the money to get Joe Namath back to Tuscaloosa, and he wrote a bad check, is a story that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Now Alabama made that check good, but he didn't have the money when he wrote it, so it was a bad check. And those are just fun stories that we can connect with Coach Bryant. Let me move to a little bit of a different conversation. Alabama, as we get a little bit closer, 10 days away, the quarterback debate is not settled, and I'm not sure that's a good thing for Alabama. If you don't have one, And if you're still trying to fight with two, you really don't have one. And I think that's the case for Nick Saban.
No, I would agree with that. I think what's going on here is you've got a situation with Jacob Coker that it hurt him not to be in the spring, and I've heard this from several sources, is that he's just not settled in yet with his receivers. I think he throws the ball too high, but I think his eyes need to be quicker. And those are all things that they are working on, and certainly hopefully for Alabama fans that by the time they play Florida that they'll have a lot of that worked out. But Ryan, I'm really of the mindset to where not only do they need to work these two guys in, they've got to work a third guy in. I really think they need to get a Cooper Bateman or someone of that ilk ready to play this season. For a variety of reasons, for next year, to also have somebody that they could depend on at some point. So I know you can't play four or five of them, but one thing I think Bama's done a very poor job of is developing backup quarterbacks, and that's something that's got to change.
We're talking to Brent Beard. We're talking about the SEC. Let me run around the league because we're not able to do this with a lot of analysts, but I know the way that you know depth charts, everybody is concerned. Alabama was number two in the AP poll six consecutive years, which is a milestone. I mean, you don't ever hear this. Top five programs for the sixth consecutive year, Alabama starts out the season number two. But let's travel to Baton Rouge for a couple of minutes. Where's their weaknesses on their football team?
I think you've got two or three things going on with them that you got to be aware of. Now, number one, their weaknesses, they certainly don't have a weakness at running back. Leonard Fournette is running very hard, and they had that scrimmage on Tuesday. And Kenny Hilliard, a guy that a lot of our folks are probably not familiar with. They've also got Terrence McGee, who is very good. And look, they may be in a situation that's kind of similar to Alabama, but they've got it at running back. Whereas you've got so many good running backs that you've got to, it's going to take maybe a little bit of time to find a starter. So, but obviously, they've got situations at quarterback. You don't quite know where they're going to go as far as that's concerned. Cam Cameron will get them going. I don't have any doubt about that. Anthony Jennings or Brandon Harris, who is going to be, we don't know. At receiver, they lost a lot of tremendous guys last year, Odell Beckham Jr., Trevane Dural, John D'Arce, and Malachi Dupree are pretty good guys. LSU may have the best offensive line in the league with Lyle Collins, Vidal Alexander, and then you've got Gerald Hawkins. Alexander, by the way, 6'6", 340. I think defensively, are there some weaknesses there? You can argue there are in losing 17 underclassmen. Senior defensive end Jeremiah Rasko, I think it had had a pretty good year last year. They're expecting good things. Daniel Hunter, 6'6", 240, 57 tackles last year. They like Christian Lacouture a good bit, and also in the secondary, Tre'Davious White is a sophomore quarterback, broke up seven passes. Jalen Mills, who had 57 tackles, is also very good. He got in some trouble, obviously, off the field. We know about that. So I would say your question marks at quarterback, they're set at kicker, that they're in really good shape at that point. And maybe along the defensive line will be my two, the two places off the top of my head for LSU where you have question marks.
I hate to say this, but it seems that a lot of things uncertain about that Auburn defense. And I know we only have a few minutes here. I want to get to some other things. But quickly, let's hit Auburn for a couple of minutes because everybody focuses on Alabama's weakness because it's the quarterback. But Auburn's got weaknesses, too, across the state.
Well, and they do. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think when you talk about Auburn, as far as weaknesses, the big thing you got to start is with how soon can Carl Lawson come back? And at this point, I'm sure you probably heard the same thing as I have. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, frankly. I like Gabe Bright, Ladarius Owens. two pretty good defensive tackles and defensive ends. I think you've got some question marks. To me, at linebacker, I think with Robinson Derezzi and his eligibility being up in the air, I think that's a concern. Jonathan Mincy the same way. These guys aren't going to be going long, I don't think, Ryan, but with them missing some games, that could hurt them. Jermaine Whitehead's a pretty good free safety. But I would agree with you. Similar last year, we don't have good they're going to be offensively, but there's no doubt they've got question marks as far as their defense.
Well, and there's some other things that are in the background that could cause some other harm for the Auburn side of the defense, and I don't want to get into speculation, but there's some news that's out of that area that could cause more problems. And Auburn's got a schedule where they cannot have any suspensions. I mean, they need guys every single quarter to beat some of the teams that are on their schedule.
There's no doubt about that. See, I think that's what happens to them. This team may be as good as it was last year, but with the schedule grinder that they've got is one thing. But look, the other thing is that these SEC defensive coordinators are very good and they're very smart, and eventually they're going to be able to figure out that this Auburn offense really slowed down more than it has.
Hey, Brent, let's run through, and I've only got about 4 minutes, but let me go through the SEC West. Last night we picked the SEC West. Tonight we were picking the SEC East. Not the top seven teams, but just 1, 2, 3 in the SEC West. Who do you like? How do you got them ranked in the 1, 2, 3 category in the SEC West?
I'm in the West. I'm still going to Alabama, but I've changed my mind on 2 and 3. I've now got LSU at 2, and I've got Auburn at 3 because of that meat grinder of a schedule. So that's where I have changed. And after looking at LSU, I did a preview for Gator Bait magazine that's coming out. I think LSU is better than people think they are. They may take a slide, but at the same time, LSU's roster, and I mean their top 50 players, is as good as Alabama's in some way. It's amazing what they've got.
Brent, let's go to the SEC East. 1, 2, 3, who do you like? How do you have them ranked in the SEC East?
South Carolina, Georgia, and then the third team I'm struggling with. I'm probably going to say Florida, but it may end up being Missouri. I think right now, Ryan, people are overlooking Missouri.
It seems like they're still having trouble earning that respect of the SEC the way that I see it. I like the picks there. Let's run through the SEC headlines in a couple of minutes. What's the big attention getters right now in the SEC?
Yeah, I think right now, for one, A&M will not have its starting quarterback in the opener. I think that does not help them at all. Devontae Harris will be sidelined for at least another month. They've got I don't know how to explain this except to say that it's described as a urinary tract injury. It's not an infection, but it's an injury. Ryan, you ever heard of that? I haven't. And again, I'm not asking us to be medical people here, but I don't know what to say about that. But that hurts them to have him out. By the way, I know this is not Alabama, but did you see where Clemson today lost their returning running back Zach Brooks? Had a foot injury. Ryan, he's going to miss the entire season. Which is disappointing. 2,000 tickets remain for students at the University of Florida.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. No, 2,000 tickets remaining at the University of Florida right now for student tickets. Tells you how difficult the year that they had during that time. And by the way, Jeremy Pruitt at Georgia, they were going to shake up the your secondary to some degree. Tuesday's practice at one point, Georgia's secondary, they had two first-year players and a walk-on. That was in your secondary at that point. Chattel Fanting is a junior college transfer. Aaron Davis is a redshirt walk-on. Senior Corey Moore It's going to be very interesting what Pruitt does at this point. And someone was talking to me a few minutes ago about if Nick Saban, when he retires, if Dabo Swinney is a possibility for that job, file this away somewhere. By then, when Saban retires, Jeremy Pruitt's going to have head coaching experience. Don't be surprised if he's not in that mix, too.